Welcome, dear ones, to our main church service on the second day of March 2024. Welcome into our fellowship, those that are listening on the phone, those that are joining us on the recording. I'm glad to have each one of you in fellowship today. Our opening song for today's service is titled Trust and Obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh or a tear can abide weak while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but a toil He does richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a frown, but His blessings we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
But we never can prove the delight of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows, for the joy He bestows, are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Amen. The highest form of worship is obedience to the one that you trust. Praise God for his great love. We can definitely trust him. Please join with me for opening prayer. Blessed Father, we thank thee so very much for thy mercy, thy love, thy compassion, thy watchful care, and also for thy law. I pray, dear Father, that you will help us to realize more of thy character, of your government, of the law that you have given, and of the great blessings that attend to those who will trust in your wisdom and obey you from love. We pray that your presence, the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit, will be abiding guests with each listening heart. We also pray for the heavenly angels to be sent to influence and impress us with the truth. And dear Spirit, we pray that you will lead and guide us into all truth, away from all error, preconceived ideas, opinions, traditions, customs. And help us to see the uplifted Savior. Help us to realize in a greater way the day in which he is Lord of. And help us to discern in greater comprehension what your will is for us today. Please, Spirit, deliver us from error, from misinterpretation, from wrong ideas, erroneous beliefs, and set our feet on the solid rock of truth. Lead and guide us to that upward, straight, narrow path that leads to eternal life in Christ Jesus. And thank you for opening our understanding today. Dear Father, I pray that you'll raise up more laborers and send them into thy harvest field. Let them uplift and glorify the Savior as the only one that can bring cleansing and salvation. And dear Spirit, glorify him until the whole world is ablaze with the gospel of truth. We thank you for allowing us to gather for just such a time as this and dig into thy word. Thank you for being our teacher today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So welcome again, dear ones. And this is part 8. In our series on the day of worship that God has chosen. And for those that would like to follow along with the notes and quotes I'll be referring to in this sermon, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com /ID340.htm. So lightministries.com /ID340.htm. And as we've already discovered, it was after sin had entered into the world that individuals began to rebel and to disobey God. And in doing so, they chose to worship their pagan gods on different days of the week, especially choosing the day of the sun or Sunday. But not everyone chose to rebel against God, and those who remained loyal and obedient to him kept his holy seventh-day Sabbath, the one that he had chosen at creation. So this then showed that the particular day in which an individual chose to worship upon became a sign or a mark between those who chose to follow God versus those who chose to follow other gods. And this sign or mark continues to this very day. But not everybody understands this, and many have developed or believed various reasons why they believe that the seventh-day Sabbath is no longer of the same importance like it was before Christ was born, lived, died, resurrected, and ascended to heaven. They think that those events changed the Sabbath to a different day, and they have reasons to try and justify that belief. And last time we examined the reason that people have against keeping God's seventh-day Sabbath holy, and that reason was because the Sabbath commandment was given to the Hebrews at Mount Sinai, so then they hold that the Sabbath was only for the Jewish people, and since the Old Covenant has been replaced with the New Covenant, then a different day to worship God on is for the New Covenant people. But in exploring this particular belief, we discovered that God's seventh-day Sabbath was given at creation. And that was about 2,500 years before God wrote the Sabbath law at Mount Sinai on tables of stone. We also learned that Adam and Eve were not Jewish, and that the Bible doesn't record any Hebrews or Jews being in existence until Abraham, some 2,000 years after Adam and Eve. We then saw that after God had led his people out of Egypt, which was after the flood, and began feeding them with manna in the desert, that they were specifically instructed that on the sixth day, or Friday, they were to gather twice as much manna as normal and prepare the extra amount for the Sabbath day, because there would be no manna that would fall on the Sabbath. And also, the manna that would spoil overnight on the other 6 days of the week would not spoil on the night of the Sabbath or Friday night. So this then revealed to the Israelites that there was a knowledge of needing to keep holy God's seventh-day Sabbath before the Ten Commandment law was given on Mount Sinai. So these facts reveal that the seventh-day Sabbath was already in existence hundreds of years before it was delivered by God to the Israelites at Mount Sinai. And this shows us that the Sabbath could not have been a Jewish institution that was only given to them but to no other people on the earth. And since God had created the Sabbath at creation, then it was given for all mankind, Adam and Eve and all their offspring. So God's seventh-day Sabbath could not pass away when the gospel dispensation arrived, when the old covenant was set aside and the new covenant in Christ occurred. But the Sabbath was still in force as part of God's holy and righteous law. Christ declared himself to be the Lord of the Sabbath when he was alive on this earth. And he's still the Lord of the same Sabbath day. So what other major reasons do people have for believing that the seventh-day Sabbath is no longer of the same importance like it was before Christ? And this is what we're going to be investigating into in the sermon today. And for those following along, if you look at quote number 2. Another reason that people use against keeping God's seventh-day Sabbath today is the claim that since the Apostle Paul commanded the church at Corinth to take up a collection for the saints, and then it is mentioned that this was on the first day of the week, that's 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2, then they conclude that this must have been a public worship service occurring on Sunday, and then they jump to the conclusion that this must prove that Sunday has taken the place of Saturday as God's worship Sabbath in the New Testament. And if this was indeed true, then there would be strong biblical evidence for the church taking, church worship services taking place on Sunday. But is this really what Paul was stating to do in these passages? Well, let's read 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2 here. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye, so the churches in Corinth. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Now, if you notice here, Paul doesn't say place your alms or place your offerings in the church treasury on the first day of the week. But he simply stated, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. So then the key to understanding where this money was to be laid aside and stored up until Paul came centers upon the meaning of the phrase by him, lay by him. So let's explore that particular phrase. These two words, by him, are not translated in the Strong's Concordance because they were considered two commonly used words. But two Latin Bible versions, the Vulgate and the Castilio, renders the phrase by him, or apodse, to mean with oneself at home. So lay by him at home. And a similar rendering of the same meaning is also given in other Bible versions as well. So this means that the text doesn't prove that the Corinthian church was assembled for public worship on Sunday under the apostles' direction, as many believe. But it does prove that each church member must themselves examine their worldly affairs at home, and then set aside a certain amount of money for the Lord at the beginning of each week as God has prospered them. And if everyone would do this, when Paul would visit them, then they would have their bounty. They would have this offering money ready at hand and would be able to present it to him. So Paul was simply telling each of the Corinthian church members that on Sunday, the first day or the beginning of each new week, they should set aside, they should lay up at home some portion of money which they had earned the previous week before they had a chance to spend it all up during the new week. And in following Paul's advice, they would be putting God and his cause first in all their financial affairs, instead of waiting until the end of the week when most of their money had already been spent. And then little would remain to be given to God. So instead of this passage in 1 Corinthians 16:1-2, commanding there to be a church service on Sunday, it instead was instructing all of the Christians to lay aside a certain amount of money as God had prospered them on the first day of each new week, and then to save it until Paul came back to visit. But where did this particular support for the teaching of this belief come from? Where did this idea that the apostles had substituted Sunday for Saturday as the day to worship God on in this new covenant come from? And if you look at quote number 3, from Pope Pius the 12th in 1947, let the public and private observance of the feasts of the church, which are in a special way dedicated and consecrated to God, be kept inviolable, and especially the Lord's Day, which the apostles, under the guidance of the Holy Ghost, substituted for the Sabbath. And that was Pope Pius the 12th. In his encyclical on the sacred liturgy titled Mediator Dei of November 20, 1947. And the Catholic Church today states, Sunday was the first day of the week according to the Jewish method of reckoning. But for Christians, it began to take the place of the Jewish Sabbath in apostolic times as the day set apart for the public and solemn worship of God. The practice of meeting together on the first day of the week for the celebration of the Eucharistic sacrifice is indicated in Acts 20 verse 7, 1 Corinthians 16 verse 2, in the Apocalypse or Revelation chapter 1 verse 10, it is called the Lord's Day. And this was from the Catholic Encyclopedia, volume 14, section titled Sunday. And this was published by Robert Appleton Company of New York in 1912, on July 1st, 1912 actually. And contains the imprimatur. So we see that the belief and the teaching that the apostles had substituted Sunday for Saturday as the day to worship God in the New Testament, and that Paul was endorsing these Sunday church services and not Saturday church services, is not found written in the Bible at all. And so this belief is not a doctrine of God taught in the scriptures, but is instead found to be a teaching and a doctrinal belief in the Roman Catholic Church. So this means that when any non-Catholic believer or any Protestant uses the argument that the apostles substituted Sunday for Saturday as being the day to worship God on, and that Paul was endorsing Sunday church services, they will find themselves in agreement with the teachings of Catholicism, but not in agreement with the truth of God's holy scriptures. Quite amazing when you get down to the origin of beliefs. If you look at quote number 4, another reason why people believe that God's seventh-day Sabbath is no longer to be kept holy today is the claim that since the disciples met together on the day of the Lord's resurrection, which is John 20, verse 19, then these disciples were meeting together to commemorate their Lord's resurrection, proving that Sunday had already become the new Sabbath of the new covenant. But what about this belief? Is it really true? What were the disciples doing meeting together as brought out in John 20, verse 19? Well, let's read it. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. So these verses reveal to us that the disciples were not meeting together in order to celebrate their Lord's resurrection, but they were assembled together in order to eat a common meal. And because they were afraid of the Jews, they closed and locked the doors behind them. But John is not the only book dealing with the disciples gathering together after their Lord was crucified and buried. Mark also reveals to us in chapter 16, verses 9 to 14. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that, he appeared in another form unto 2 of them as they walked and went into the country. And as they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Now in these verses, Mark shows us that the disciples were not meeting together to celebrate their Lord's resurrection, because most of them did not yet believe that Jesus had indeed been risen from the dead. And that was why Jesus had to rebuke them for their unbelief when he appeared in their midst. So this reveals to us that these scriptures indicate that the disciples were not meeting together to celebrate the Lord's resurrection, because most of them did not yet believe that Jesus had indeed been raised from the dead. But these scriptures bring out that the disciples were assembled together in order to eat a common meal, and because they were afraid of the Jews, they had locked the doors. And the very fact that Christ visited them during this secret meeting was not to sanction Sunday as being the new Sabbath, but was simply to encourage their weak faith that he had indeed risen and was really the Messiah, the true Son of God. But where did this particular belief come from that the disciples met together on the day of the Lord's resurrection, indicating that Sunday instead of Saturday was now the true day to worship God? If you look at quote number 5. In the Universal Catholic Catechism, Part 2, titled The Celebration of the Christian Ministry, this is Chapter 3, titled, When is the Liturgy Celebrated? This is in the section titled The Lord's Day, and it is paragraph number 1166. It states, by a tradition handed down from the apostles, which took its origin from the very day of Christ's resurrection, the church celebrates the Paschal mystery every seventh day, which day is appropriately called the Lord's Day or Sunday. Quite amazing. They even change the order of the days of the week. So this reveals that the teaching and belief that because the disciples met together on the day of the Lord's resurrection, then this shows Sunday instead of Saturday was the day to worship God in the new covenant, is not supported by the Bible at all. So it's not a belief. It's not a doctrine of God taught in the scriptures, but is instead a belief and a doctrine found to be taught in the Roman Catholic Church. So this again shows us that when any non-Catholic believer or any Protestant uses the argument that because the disciples met together on the day of our Lord's resurrection, then this proves that Sunday instead of Saturday is the day to worship God in the new covenant, will find themselves in agreement with the teachings of Catholicism, but not in agreement with the truth founded on God's holy scriptures. But there's even more reasons that people believe why the Sabbath has been set aside for Sunday in the New Covenant. And next time, we'll continue examining more of these reasons and then discover if God's inspired word actually backs up those beliefs. So we hope to see you next time, dear ones. And our closing song is titled Temple Made of Time. God took 6 days and created earth and moon, the stars and sun. On the seventh day he rested from the work that he had done. Then he blessed it, made it holy, as a gift for every man, to remind us where we came from and just how this world began. Holy day, purified, set apart, sanctified, enter in to joy divine in a temple made of time.
See him worship on the Sabbath as his weekly custom was. Fear the fury of the rabbis, for he would not heed their laws. So they killed him on the hillside as the sun began to fade. But he even kept the Sabbath as they laid him in the grave. Holy day, glorified, set apart, sanctified, enter in, joyful in the temple, man of time.
All forsaken and forgotten, desecrated and profaned, but the sacred fourth commandment is still valid and unchanged. Hear the Father gently calling, if you love me, keep each one, not for merit or salvation, but because you love my Son. Holy day, purify, set apart, sanctify, enter into joy divine in a temple made of fire.
Amen. I pray that each one of us, out of love to God, will indeed keep each one of his commandments, including the Sabbath.
My dear brother, is my twin sister well? I haven't heard her on this Sabbath. Is she okay?
She's a little under the weather. She's battling with some issues, health issues. But she is here in our church service. She is listening, but she's not able to sing along with us.
I pray for you, my dear sister. You are in my every thought, concern, and may the Lord release you from whatever you are offering, because I know he will bring you through.
Thank you so much, dear brother. And thank you for all your prayers. I know Mom appreciates each one and sending big hugs. Well, please join with me for closing prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for being the great lawgiver and for sending your Son to show us how to keep your law. Thank you, Savior, for manifesting the love of God to us, for revealing to us that the great lawgiver is merciful and kind, tender-hearted, compassionate, but will not acquit those who choose to break his law. We thank you also, dear Savior, that for each one of us who have chosen to sin, we have a remedy from death. And that is by accepting your life, allowing you to be our substitute, to bear the penalty for us, and for also cleansing us, forgiving us, and giving us your life, like a robe that will cover us, a robe of righteousness. And thus we can live your life, being born again. Not living in the flesh, but living in the spirit. And thank you for the grace, dear Spirit, that makes this possible. We pray that many more individuals will come to this understanding of the true Sabbath, the day that you have chosen as your worship day, and that they will, in gratitude, love, and respect, to honor your wishes, your law, and to keep your day holy. We pray that many more people will come to the understanding that worshiping on any other day of the week is based upon custom and tradition, commandments of men, and not upon a thus saith the Lord. And then we'll choose to follow the Lord of the Sabbath and not the Lord of the counterfeit Sabbath, that by their choice to worship and their obedience to the command, they will show themselves to be followers of the Most High God and no longer followers of the great rebel. Thank you so much for allowing your precious word of truth to be so readily available that individuals can study these things for themselves, can check it out, and can determine what your will is. And thank you, Spirit, for being their teacher and guide and instructor in all righteousness and truth. Thank you also for being the reprover and corrector of our beliefs, for we want to be set free in Christ Jesus by the truth and no longer in bondage to error, to falsehood, to wrong ideas and beliefs. Thank you for making this deliverance possible. And especially, dear Savior, for setting us free from death to life everlasting. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Well, next time we'll explore other reasons why individuals believe that God's Sabbath day is not on Saturday, but some other day of the week. We'll explore more of those reasons. But are there any questions or comments, any insights, testimonies, songs or requests? Please go right ahead.
I like to sing a hymn that I haven't sung in a long time. It is How Sweet Upon the Sacred Day. How sweet upon the sacred day, the best of all the seven, to cast our earthly thoughts away and think of God and heaven. How sweet the words of peace to hear from him to whom 'tis given, to wake the penitential fear and lead the way to heaven. And to make our sins depart, in vain the will has striven. He who regards the inmost heart will send his grace from heaven. How sweet to be allowed to pray, our sins may be forgiven with a loud confidence to say, Father, who art in heaven.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. Dear Sister Rose, are you referring to this hymn?
Elder Rob, I think it's the one that goes, I don't remember the rest of it though, but it starts off like that, if I can help you a bit.
Yeah, that's the one, Sister Fifi. I looked at this one, I was like, I don't have no idea. I was going to ask that somebody would sing it so I could find out what the melody was. You have that one, Brother Bob?
I'm not familiar with that one.
Okay, Brother Dick this morning was singing, like there's some song that they're all together, and this is one that was coming along after the one that he was singing this morning. Let me see the number. It's right next to the one that said face to face in Christ, man. That one, then this one comes after. It may be at morn. It may be at morn when the days are waking, when sunlight through darkness a shadow is breaking, that Jesus will come in the fullness of glory to receive from the world his own. Lord, Lord Jesus, alone, alone, here we shout the glad song. Christ returning, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, amen. Brother Bob, this is one of the CD that we got after our baptism. You don't remember the CD you sent me? Okay, this is one of the songs. Anybody else would like to go with the other one?
Didi Rosie, can you tell us the number of the hymn?
The number is 207. It may be at morn.
It may be at midday, it may be at twilight, it may be perchance in the darkness of midnight, will burst into light in the blaze of his glory when Jesus receives his own. Oh, Lord Jesus, how long, ere we shout the glad song. Christ returneth, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, amen.
While hosts cry Hosanna from heaven descending, with glorified saints and the angels attending, with grace on his brow like a halo of glory, will Jesus receive his own? O Lord Jesus, how long, ere we shout the glad song. Christ returneth, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, amen.
Oh joy, oh delight, should we go without dying? No sickness, no sorrow, no the joy, oh no crying. God of the clouds, with our Lord into glory, with
Jesus receives his own.
Lord,
Lord Jesus, how long, how long, here we shout the glad song. Christ returned it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you, dear ones.
Amen. Thank you for the suggestion. I didn't recognize it by the title, but I did recognize it by the tune. So thank you, dear sister. Any other requests? Any other songs? Anything else that you'd like to share, dear ones? Please go right ahead.
Hi, church family. I have something fun to tell. This is specifically for our beloved Elder Bob. So I was going through, my mom was cleaning out the garage, and she found an old notebook where she would put, like, prayer requests and also things to be grateful for, like, whatever has been answered. And I was looking through because something told me to look through it. And on August 10th, 1998, my mom puts, "Thank you to God for enlisting me on the mailing list of Let There Be Light Ministries." And I just said, oh, I have to take a picture of this and I have to tell the church. So I just wanted to share that and celebrate how long we have all been a church family and how it's proof that throughout the ages, no matter what, when you have Jesus first in your heart, you'll all be led together. So amen for that. Love you guys. Happy Sabbath.
Amen. Love you all as well. And praise God for his merciful kindness in leading us both to the truth of Jesus. 1998, that's going back there a bit. I never thought we'd still be here. Oh, praise the Lord. That was indeed a blessed year. I never thought we'd still be here this long. But praise God that we're still holding on to Jesus and his precious truth. And have not let it go. We haven't gone back to Babylon. We're still pressing on the upward way. Amen. Clinging tenaciously to our Savior. Standing on that rock of truth and refusing to get off of it for all the fanaticism or false ideas or teachings, even for church fellowship. Refusing to get off of Christ for any inducement of the devil for a supposed better life or association or friendship or whatever it may be. Christ means more to us than anything. And praise God for enabling us to be together from different parts of the world all at the same time to worship our God and his wonderful Son. So thanks for sharing that. That is, that's made my day. So thank you. And it is a privilege and an honor to be with you all in fellowship.
I would like to share a song. This is Standing on the Promises. I felt that it was very appropriate for what you were just saying. Standing on the promises of Christ, my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail. By the living word of God I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
That's number four.
We're on number three.
I'm sorry.
Standing on the promises I now can see.
Standing on the promises I know. Can see perfect present cleansing in the blood for me, standing in the liberty where Christ made free, standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of Christ my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God.
Standing on
the promises of Christ the Lord. Bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord. Overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ, my Savior. Standing. I'm standing on the promises of God.
Standing on the promises, I cannot fail. Sorry. Try that again. Can't see it. Standing on the promises I cannot fail. Listening every moment. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ, my Savior. Standing. I'm standing on the promises of God.
Thank you, my dear brother.
Amen. It's by those precious promises that we're able to put on the divine nature and escape the corruptions that are in the world through lust. God's word has power in it. The truth is a power to live it. If we just let Jesus in our hearts, we'll be able to follow Him. Thank you for that suggestion of the wonderful hymn. Are there any other suggestions? Oh, sure. I go right ahead. Sister, that was very sweet.
This particular hymn, Mama Jones shared with me. I fell in love. Anytime when I hear it, I could hear her singing it. Because the first time she was doing it in the room, I went looking for the song. And when I saw even the scenery, it always reminded of her. We just want to say, Mama Joan, we love you and we miss you. And our prayers are with you. And we can't wait that the Lord will lift you up once more so you could join us, because we miss you so much, especially your voice. Thank you for being such a lovely sister. We love you, Mom.
Amen. Indeed we do. Dear ones, are there any other thoughts that you'd like to share, or songs that you'd like to sing, or requests to have sung? Any questions, testimonies? Please go right ahead.
Elder Rob, maybe not for today. But I wanted to get a better understanding of when it talks about the timings. For example, when they say like it was like the sixth hour, or the ninth hour, maybe, you know, maybe an after study, discussion, but not today, another time. I would like to get a better understanding of what how to get into that time instead of like the 24-hour time span.
Yeah, it's okay, dear sister. The Jews started their day at 6 in the morning and their night at 6 at night. So when it talks about the third hour of the day, that would actually be 9 a.m. When it talks about the sixth hour of the day, that would be noon. So that gives you a very brief understanding of that.
Is that 6 to 6 Jewish or is it biblical?
It's Jewish. It's custom.
Okay.
Yeah. So when you read in the scriptures, it was at the third hour of the day. That would be 9 a.m. So that gives you a little bit of understanding the time of day it would be. So the ninth hour of the day would be 3 p.m. So.
Yeah, I wanted to get a better understanding, Wendy, putting the scripture to what we're learning in terms of when he was crucified, the timing and stuff like that. So, okay. Praise God, Sister Jo.
Amen. Yeah. Knowing little things can help the scripture come out more clear. You get a better understanding, a little more of what was taking place. And especially with the spirit of prophecy, adding even more detail into that. It helps make it real. To me at least. Any other thoughts, dear ones? Any last comments that you'd like to make before we close today's service? Please feel free. Well, dear ones, have a wonderful remaining Sabbath. Those on the other side of the world, have a wonderful new week. Welcome to Sister Janet for coming in fellowship today. We hope to have you back with us. And dear ones, until we meet again, keep looking up.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.